Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Judges. Can anybody ever remember a sermon on the book of Judges? From 8:30, right, Kerm? Yeah, I thought so. This is one advantage of our reading through the Bible in a year. We're continuing our reading through the Bible in a year series once a month where I preach on a text from the reading assigned to the month. So check this out from the book of Judges, chapter 12, the first 7 verses. The men of Ephraim were called to arms, and they crossed to Zaphon and said to Jephthah, "Why did you cross over to fight against the Ammonites and did not call us to go with you? We will burn your house down over you." Jephthah said to them, "My people and I were engaged in conflict with the Ammonites who oppressed us severely. But when I called you, you did not deliver me from their hand. When I saw that you would not deliver me, I took my life in my hand and crossed over against the Ammonites, and the Lord gave them into my hand. Why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me?" Then Jephthah gathered all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead defeated Ephraim because they said, "You are fugitives from Ephraim, you Gileadites, in the heart of Ephraim and Manasseh." Then the Gileadites took the fords of the Jordan against the Ephraimites. Whenever one of the fugitives of Ephraim said, "Let me go over," the men of Gilead would say to him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" When he said no, they said to him, "Then say Shibboleth." And he said, "Sibboleth." And he could not pronounce it right. Then they seized him and killed him at the fords of the Jordan. 42,000 of the Ephraimites fell at that time. Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then Jephthah the Gileadite died and was buried in his town in Gilead. Seem God to inspire these words, incline our hearts and our minds to their understanding. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of my favorite documents to discuss with my public speaking class at OCC is the sheet that I call a delivery checklist of best practices for delivery. And it covers all kinds of issues related to the delivery of speeches. And one of the sections is a section on vocal resonance, and specifically a part that deals with articulation and enunciation. I would like to read for you just a couple parts of that section that will be very relevant for our discussion today. And the section deals with voice resonance. Sheet says, give attention to the quality of your voice. Is it high and whiny? Is it nasal? Is it choked or constricted? Is it throaty or raspy? Nervousness, by the way, can produce all of the above. And speak with vocal variety, which includes paying attention to issues of pitch, highs and lows, rate, how fast you talk. Most speakers average between 120 and 180 words a minute. There is no one best speaking rate. The best rate depends on 2 things: your speaking style and the content of your speech. And then finally, articulation. Enunciate properly the sounds that make up your words. And I emphasize how in public speaking, one needs to make sure that you are emphasizing the consonants in the words that you speak. Some commonly misarticulated words that I list in the sheet: ax instead of ask, didn't instead of didn't, lemme instead of let me, mornin instead of morning, makin instead of making, see ya instead of see you. Sound instead of sound. Wanna instead of want to. What do you do instead of what do you do? I think we all can agree that some words are harder to pronounce than others. But good articulation is always a huge help in getting words right. This morning, as I mentioned, we are revisiting our Read Through the Bible in a Year series, and specifically how this issue of pronunciation and articulation plays a huge role in the story that occurs in the reading that is assigned to today in our Read Through the Bible in a Year reading schedules. It is the story from Judges chapter 12 that was just read in your hearing. And as the story goes, two tribes, Gilead and Ephraim, are in a great battle. More than likely, it is a battle that occurs over the fact that Ephraim did not respond to the invitation by Jephthah in a particular war against the Ammonites, which would have meant, had they won that war, the Ephraimites would have to split the spoils after the victory of that war. Very interesting, isn't it? 5th century BC, people are still fighting over stuff. Unbelievable. Ephraim, one of the tribes of Israel, in this particular battle, is getting the worst of it and is finally defeated, and they decide to retreat. On their way home, they come to the fords at the Jordan River, which, of course, in those days, it was long before the day of bridges. The only way to ford particular bodies of water was through fords, which were those little areas along the river that afforded an easy walk across. Most of the Jordan River was too wide to swim across, and it was too deep to wade across. And so there were certain sections that one could walk through and barely get their feet wet. There were, however, certain Gileadites whose job it was to guard the fords and slay any Ephraimite who attempted to cross the river. The only problem was, however, that without proper training, the Gileadites wouldn't know how to tell the difference between someone from the tribe of Ephraim and someone from their own tribe. I mean, they all looked pretty much the same. They all dressed pretty much the same. They had those gloriously fringed and colorful robes and tunics. The issue was, how do we tell a friend from a foe? So the Gileadites, who guarded these fords, had to be trained to recognize that there was a very slight articulation issue that identified the people of Ephraim from any other tribe. And the issue had to do with the fact that the Ephraimites had a very slight different pronunciation of the sound sh, the sh sound. And specifically, it can be heard in the word shibboleth. Now, shibboleth, according to the note in my study Bible, is the word for ear of corn. I know. Pretty weird. So when a man from Ephraim fleeing for his life was confronted by a man of Gilead at the ford in the river, he would be asked, friend or foe? Naturally, the Ephraimite, in trying to get across, would say, oh, I'm a friend. And so the Gileadite would say, okay then, say ear of corn. Say shibboleth. No matter how hard the Ephraimites tried, no matter how hard they tried to wrap their tongue around that word, the best the Ephraim people could manage was sibboleth. And they would be killed on the spot. I know. Small potatoes, right? How you pronounce, can you imagine living in a day and a time
when how you pronounce a particular word could mean the difference between life and death.
Andre Klesa, the director of our praise team, told me after the 8:30 service today, she said, "Can you imagine how many people I could have killed because they can't pronounce my name right?" Andre versus Andrea. Two different people, folks. Andre directs our praise team. Andrea is our administrative assistant. You pronounce them wrong, you're killed. That's the essence of this passage. Such a small difference. And yet, in the book of Judges, the author says it cost the lives of 42,000 Ephraimites that day. Well, you can bet I've been thinking a lot about this lately. And specifically, how such a small thing can give our identity away. And to that end, I'm wondering this morning, what are the little things that give us away? I mean, I'm not sure yet whether the devil or God is in the details. But clearly, this passage indicates that details are pretty important to life. And it certainly suggests that certain details will allow others to see that you belong to a certain tribe or not. So, what might be some of the little things in the articulation of our lives, if you will, that might give us away as belonging to Christ? I mean, we pretty much look the same as most people. We dress the same. We live in the same world. We work at the same jobs. And other than maybe some slight size differences, depending on how much we're eating, or what kind of genes we come from, some are tall, some are short, despite the fact that there may be some slightly different hues in our skin, some different accents in our speech, what is to identify us as Christians? What are some of the little things that might give us away as Christians? Or better, what do the Scriptures say about the little things that we are to be about as the people of God and clearly indicate that we are God's and have been given the gift of faith? Well, I put in your bulletins today a little sheet of paper that has three passages of Scripture on it as we consider this theme. So I'd like you to pull that out just for a minute. We're going to spend some time with these. And very specifically and very firstly, we have this passage from Matthew 7, 16 and following in the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. This is a great translation. It's from the New Living Translation. And I think I want to read this first one together because I think it begins to hint at what are some of the little things that need to be evident in our living if people are going to see we're Christian. So let's read this together. Matthew 7, 16 and following. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes? Or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, It won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So this text says that our actions, it is our actions or the fruit of our lives that give us away. Well, that's sort of a broad brushstroke, right? Because you want to say, well, what kind of fruit? You know, like peaches and oranges? What kind of fruit in our lives, you know? Next, Paul in Galatians 5 deals specifically with that question and gives us some of the specifics about those actions and that fruit. And specifically ones that are characteristic of the people of God, as well as those fruits and actions that aren't. So check these out. Follow along as I read this list from Paul in Galatians 5, verses 6 and following. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful desires, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. So this is not a definitive list. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So what are the small things, what are the little things in our lives that are evident that we belong to God? Paul helps us out with that, right here with this great list. And then finally, in his letter to the Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Paul says this, and read these verses with me, please. Therefore, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So three little sections from Scripture, all in one place for you, that I hope and pray will be a helpful reminder to you of the little things that will give others a clue about the fact that we have been claimed by faith and given the gift of faith. I hope that you will keep these verses front and center before you this week. Read through them over and over again. When you find yourself putting on that sinful nature and doing those things that you know clearly from Scripture are not part of our characteristic as Christians, you can be aware of that. And may this list help us articulate that our lives surely say, not Shibboleth, but Jesus. Get it? Good. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this pretty amazing story from Judges, and we pray that we would be reminded that there are certain things in the articulation of our lives that make it evident to others that we are yours. May the fruits of the Spirit grow freely and mightily. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.